are so overwhelmed by all these lies and threats from the enemy that you don't think there is any way out. And until you said to her, there is a higher court, and you had to almost shout it to her, there is a higher court than the one that you think is the most important here, and
right.
That's the earthly court. And we must believe the heavenly court has more authority than this earthly court that you're involved with.
Now, in this case, she was talking about a county court. It happened to be Adams County out here north east of Denver. But it wouldn't matter whether it was Denver County or Jefferson County or some other county in the United States, or a state court, or a federal court, or a Supreme Court of the United States. Folks, we got to get this straight. God has the authority. But as you'll see in Scripture, the people had to keep their eyes on the Lord God.
That's right. While this enemy was intimidating
That's
them
right.
with words, King Hezekiah had told them, don't you say anything. Don't you even begin to try to defend yourself in this case. God's going to work it out. This is an exciting story, Darren.
Now, I want to say this to you folks, as this is very, very practical stuff. If you've got a lawsuit coming against you, or you have somebody spreading gossip or lies about you, you either have written words coming against you, or maybe it's a letter, maybe it's a contract, maybe it's a judgment, maybe it's spoken words, maybe it's just they're just trying to ruin your reputation with gossip and lies and so on. Okay, if you give those words precedence in your life, then you're going to have to go by what comes down in that arena.
That's right.
You're going to say, well, the court said, or this person said, or the boss said this, or that insurance company said that, or this attorney said this, or that and the other thing. You see, if you hold up the Word of God and you focus on God's Word and on God Himself and on His power and on His name and on His character and on His faithfulness, you will win in a righteous manner. But if you go by the word of the doctor or the word of the psychiatrist or whatever it is, and that's the last word, you're making that person God.
And you will bring a curse upon yourself,
yes,
as it
you
says
will.
In Jeremiah 17:5. And
quote
you
that,
will
quote that.
Cursed is the man who trusts
Ooh.
In mankind or the world system or whatever you want to put
right,
in there.
Right.
And it says you will go around as a barren bush in the desert. I don't want that, Darren. And then right after that in Jeremiah 17, it says, but blessed is that man who trusts in God, for he will be like a well-watered plant. I prefer that to a bush in the desert. And it's so important to know who we are trusting in.
Okay.
And we cannot vacillate back and forth from, well, the doctor said, well, the lawyer said, well, but God, but the doctor. And we go on and on, double-minded and vacillating. And we can't expect anything from God when we're
You know,
like
those
that.
People are out of the but church. Okay. Let's look at this. I want to read this Jeremiah 17:5. We've given this to so many people when they're giving us this song and dance, well, the doctor said, or the judge said, or the attorney said. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. And I could also insert the word reasoner, who makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Wow. See, if you took... trust in man, you've turned away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be like a bush in a desert and will not see when prosperity comes.
Oh, he will not Ooh. See. He's so taken up by the intimidation and everything going around him in the natural.
And it says, but we'll live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
He'll be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream.
I want that.
Yeah. Who will not fear when the heat comes?
That's right.
And the heat comes to all of our lives, folks. And I'll tell you, these are times of testing. Now, you can approach it one of two ways, because Satan's going to tell you now, you're going to weaken. You're going to cave in. You're going to die. This thing is too big for you. Mm-hmm. Now, if you listen to his lies, and here we have this story in 2 Kings, about how Rabshakeh, who was really the military commander coming from Sennacherib, coming against God's people, he was shooting his mouth off.
Oh,
he was bilingual, could speak many languages, probably was very bright, very intelligent man, and probably as we'd say today, a very charismatic military commander. And he had great words to speak against God's people.
That's right, he sure did. But the people, I love this. It says the people relied on the words of Hezekiah, their king. And I'll tell you, that is so important to have have godly leadership. And we're going to read here how Hezekiah, he performed many reforms in Judah. He took away all of the idolatrous statues and everything that the people were worshiping apart from God. And he established God as the the Most High God in the land of Judah.
Was really God of the people, God of
yes.
the land, God of the nation. But now in verse 7 of 2 Kings 18, it says, "And the Lord," speaking about Hezekiah, "the Lord was with him wherever he went, he prospered."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a good way to lay this down and begin here. And then the invasion of Judah comes, and the people are gripped in fear, and the king is gripped in fear. And it says, "And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them." When I studied ancient history in college, Sennacherib was one of the big names in ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
We found that totally outside of the Word of God. But his end is not very good. Okay. But then they were talking here, and King Hezekiah did give in. And he cut off some of the gold from the doors of the temple, and he was trying to negotiate with money.
You can't negotiate. It's like so many times you've said, Darren, you just can't reason with a spirit. There is no way you can reason with an enemy of the Most High God.
Quote that again, Barb.
You just can't reason with a spirit. There is no way. And we find out in our classes on Tuesday night, you have to confront and come against it and cut it off.
Cut it off.
Cut
you
it
have
off,
to go
renounce
after
it.
It's a viper until you take care of it. It'll bug you.
Amen.
Now in verse 19, Rabshakeh, this military commander of Assyria from Sennacherib.
He was Sennacherib's right-hand man.
Yeah. He was the man. We might say he's Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
"Say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have?" I love this story, Barbara, because this is just like today.
It's just full
Satan
of
say,
lies.
What makes you think you're going to be healed?
That's right.
What makes you think you're going to pay your bills, you know? "You say, but they are only empty words." Now, this is coming from Rabshakeh, see, this evil commander. "I have counsel and strength for war. Now, on whom do you reply that you have rebelled against me?" Then he went on to say, now, don't you know that we've gobbled up all these other countries?
That's right. And you have no allies here. You're standing alone. There is no one with you. It reminds me of the story of Elijah that said, "Oh, Lord, let me die. There's no one here to worship you. They're all gone." And the Lord says, "Hey, listen up, Elijah. There are 7,000 prophets that still won't bow to Baal." So God always has his people.
Well, now the words came. I'm going to give you verse 28 here out of chapter 18 of 2 Kings. "Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judea." He was speaking in their native tongue. I think this is so great, saying, "Hear the word of the great king of Assyria."
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something you want to put in here?
Yes. Before that, I just want to say that when the enemy does come against you, he's going to get down dirty. And here Rabshakeh, right before that, verse 28 is verse 27. He gets really nasty here, Darren. He says, "Has my master sent me only to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall, doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own urine?" Now he gets downright dirty here. You're gonna be starving, and you're gonna have to eat your own dung. That's
so what you wanted to bring out, the down and dirty part of the story.
I did, because that's what happens. It just gets dirtier and dirtier when we listen to the enemy.
Yeah, and they really try to intimidate. And see, folks, this is a spirit of Jezebel here, a spirit of mockery, a spirit of intimidation, saying, "Look, this is how bad it's going to get for you, dummies, because you're going with this God you can't see."
Yes. Oh, but he's a wonderful God.
"But thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord," capital L, in other words, God, "saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. Each will eat of his vine and each of his fig tree and drink each of his own waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards." And he's giving them the presentation
here. What a lie.
Here.
Yes.
Goes on to say, "But do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, he, the Lord, will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his hand from the hand of the king of Assyria?"
Yeah.
"Where are the gods?" And then he goes on to say, "These gods were tossed into the fire," and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And here they
had. God, he's just lumping the God of Israel along with all these idols, and he's going to see.
Now, you can understand why a wicked man's mindset would say, "Look at this mighty army that's behind me." Reason would tell you you're foolish.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're God, and he didn't see the power of the Most High living God. He was talking about dead gods that have been made by men's imaginations and men's hands.
That's right. But like in Gideon's case, he had only 300 men. The Lord had decreased the army to only 300. And here were the armies of the Midianites spread out like the